What's up, soldier boys and soldier girls? It's Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
We're here.
We're definitely
it's
here.
It's a great interview. Anyway, there's a great Soulja Boy interview out right now. Take an hour out of your day and go ahead and watch it.
It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And this podcast will have nothing to do with Soulja Boy.
No.
Just up top. Yeah. Just so you know.
Just letting you know.
Don't get confused if it's your first time listening to the pod.
This is not Locked On Soulja Boy.
No, this is Locked On Clippers. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all sorts of new, fresh Clippers content.
Yeah.
We got the pod. We got some live stuff on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to be going live for you guys tonight after the game.
Yep.
So make sure and check that out on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
As always.
We're gonna kick things off with a little preview of tonight's action against the Jazz. It's a tough-looking matchup, but I think we can come out on top.
For sure.
We're going to give you some key matchups there and what we're going to need to do to win that game. And then today is Wednesday, so it's our segment, What Could Have Been Wednesdays, or Parallel Universe.
You've been hyped up for this one.
I have. Where we take a look at what things could have looked like had they turned out a little bit differently.
Hmm.
This one is a pretty heavy hypothetical.
This one's pretty absurd.
And it is, what if Clipper great Bob McAdoo played for the 18-19 Clippers?
And then I have a fairly more realistic one, but that one's not as fun to talk about. We'll get to that one, though.
And then we're going to wrap things up with just some general NBA talk. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
So we're hosting the Utah Jazz tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Got a bit of some Utah weather outside right now. It's pouring rain.
Is that what it's like in Utah?
I don't know. I assume it's always raining in Utah.
I think it just snows.
Just snows? I don't know. They're the beehive state.
It snows year-round.
Yeah. Big game against the Jazz. We are in the midst of a pretty tough three-game losing streak.
Yep. Yeah. So our longest losing streak was back in December. That was four games back-to-back L's.
Not good. We've dropped some games that we should have won, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe should have beat the, for sure should have beat the Pistons. Should have probably beat the Pelicans. Tonight we get the Jazz. Some quick notes before we get into it. Jerome Robinson was recalled by the Clippers.
Hey.
Don't know if he's going to play.
Probably not.
Probably won't, but that's good to see. The Jazz have zero healthy point guards.
Yeah, I think they're going to be rolling out a starting backcourt of Royce O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell.
Royce to O'Neal? we don't have any injuries other than Luka Mbamute, who is, I don't know, in a hyperbolic chamber somewhere.
Supposed to be back sometime in January, so stay tuned for that.
We've had a day off.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
After a home game, which is huge. I really hope the energy's up. We need to get a victory before we play the Warriors on Friday.
Yeah.
We have to get a victory.
The Warriors are really clicking at a terrifying rate.
Oof.
Currently back on top in the West.
Yeah.
We'll be adding a guy you might have heard of, DeMarcus Cousins, a.k.a. Big Boogie.
I think he's making his return against us, which is always great. The Jazz have the 20th-ranked offense and 4th-ranked defense, where we have the 6th-ranked offense and 23rd.
Yeah.
It's a nice juxtaposition.
It's pretty good, yeah.
So what do we need to do to win tonight?
Well, I think that, as we always say, like, rebounding is always going to be like a big issue.
Yes.
However, I think we really need to box out on D. The Jazz are 20th in offensive rebounds, and we just need to prevent them from getting any sort of second chance opportunities.
It's surprising me they rank that low.
Yeah, it is.
With a guy like Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Who averages something like, I think, 13 boards a game. Yeah, who are we going to see? And that's maybe a matchup question, but I think we could see a little bit of Boban tonight.
Yeah, that could work.
He's like the only, he's like a weird, like one, like a 33% bigger version of Gobert.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that could really bother him. I was saying for the rebounds, I think we need to lose this category by less than 10.
Oh, I mean,
in order to have a good chance to win.
That'd be pretty solid.
I don't think we're going to win the category. I hope we do, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think if we lose by less than 10, we'll be good.
Definitely.
Going back to that point guard situation, so they're 26th in the league in turnovers.
Okay.
Which is not very good.
No.
If we can kind of rattle them early, and maybe if our on-ball defense on Donovan Mitchell is causing him to force passes,
yeah,
we could actually be in a situation where we're maybe playing ahead for the first time.
Yeah.
In what feels like a very long time.
Definitely.
We're probably going to see, I don't know who, Bradley on Mitchell if he's handling the ball.
I'm not really sure. I think that Bradley will be defending, obviously, whoever the on-ball guard is, which could be very well be Royce O'Neal. And so we might see. We'll I guess we should be touching on this in matchups, but we could see Shea guarding Donovan Mitchell some tonight.
Yeah. I like those take great shots when you have in here.
Yeah. So we're not going to get a lot of second chance opportunities.
No.
They're in the top 10, I believe, in rebounds. I think they might be sitting at like the 8 spot.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to take great shots, and we got to take more threes. The Jazz are a bottom 10 3-point percentage team, and they allow about 27 a game, which is in the neighborhood of what we generally take.
What are we, like 24?
Yeah, something right around that. So I'd like to see that number be closer to last game, you know,
yeah.
The 30-plus mark.
That'd be awesome. So there's this weird situation, too, where the Jazz rank 4th in free throw attempts, but 26 in free throw percentage.
Yeah, that's not good. I was looking at some of the shooting splits for the guys in their last game against the Pistons.
Yeah.
And it seems like, with the exception of Joe Ingles, who's about an 83% free throw shooter, everyone else is below 80%.
Yeah, which is kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Except for, I think their best one is Neto, but he's hurt, obviously. So we could maybe, I don't know, Gobert goes to the line around 6 times a game, but is shooting 64%.
Wow.
Do you think we may see some hack a Gobert?
If it comes to it, yeah. I do think that they're like, I think it'll be somewhat less necessary unless the game is close later.
Yeah.
Just because they're not as fast of a team as us. So I don't know, especially like given their turnover situation, how much they're really going to try to like get out in transition versus try to, you know, like work us in a set half court.
Yeah, you mentioned their pace. Like this note you have in here too about how they have a depleted roster.
Yeah.
So let's just run these guys.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's going to be super clutch. Just, you know, keep the energy up, keep that intensity up. And they, you know, they're so depleted that it's going to be hard for them to keep up with our bench, and then, you know, their starters are going to end up having to probably play a lot more minutes than they would like.
Were they going to run like an 8-man rotation tonight?
It's got to be something like that.
Like, I was looking at the roster.
They
got
like 4 dudes out. So yeah. I think that it's going to have to be, yeah, like a 8, maybe 10-man rotation. Let me see. Currently, they've got 5 players listed on the injury report. So, yeah, it's probably going to be a 8-to-10-man rotation.
And this, going off the pace thing, it would be nice to see this game Tobias kind of put pressure on them after the second quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it'd be cool to see him score more than, you know, compared to last game, 0 fourth quarter points.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this kind of segues, let's get into what could go wrong first.
For sure. So, I mean, obviously they have a really good big guy.
Yeah.
So if Gobert kind of...
Luckily not like as well versed offensively as like a lot of these other big men who give us a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he's not going to space the floor. He's not going to stretch us too much.
He's not going to space the floor. And I mean, just depending on who we put on him, I don't know. He's not going to be doing a lot of playmaking from the post. So.
Yeah. And if he's feeling it, I could, you know, he could put up maybe a 20-and-20 game. And if Donovan Mitchell's kind of playing prime point guard and they're running the pick and roll and Boban's out there, that's going to be exposed pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because Gobert is kind of a slower guy, but no one is slower than Boban. No disrespect to Boban.
Yeah.
He's just too big of a human being to be fast.
Yeah. If Lou Will has another crappy shooting night like he did against the Pels.
Yeah.
You know, we do heavily rely on him, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
but it just is what it is right now. So if he's having another off shooting night, it's going to be really hard. Especially like I said, I mean their starters are going to play a lot of minutes, so there's a pretty conceivable possibility that he'll be on the floor going head to head with O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell as well.
That's a good point. Korver's our most dangerous bench scorer, so we'll probably see him a ton tonight.
Yeah,
just because they don't have anybody. So limiting him when their starters are out or some weird combination of their starters and him are out there is going to be pretty big for us too.
Definitely.
And then to go off of that, Joe Ingles could just, you know, maybe want to exact his revenge on the Clippers.
Yeah.
That could happen. He's a top 3 shooter in the league. And if our defense isn't really communicating, we could...
He's a top 3 shooter in the league?
I think, yeah.
Who's 1 and 2?
Stephen Clay.
That's fair.
He's a great shooter.
Yeah, he is a solid shooter.
Avery Bradley and Patrick Beverley are 1 and 2 in the league. So let's get into some matchups. This one you have is really good.
So I think the Twitchster, the movie villain, Quinn Snyder versus Doc, the good guy.
The good guy.
Is going to be really interesting. Quinn Snyder is a really solid coach. He seems so intense.
Dude.
There's like a report of him one time taking a timeout. He drew up no plays. He said nothing. He stared at the entire team for the entirety of the timeout.
Didn't they go on like a 10-2 run after that or something?
Yeah. And then I think they ended up winning the game, but...
I would say Quinn Snyder has angry single mom energy about his team in a good way.
Like, yeah. An NBA coach was quoted as saying that Quinn Snyder is one of the hardest coaches to read in the NBA due to both his twitching and quote unquote all that European shit, referring to like the play calling.
That's so funny. this is a tough, we don't talk about coaching matchups too often on this podcast, but this is a really interesting one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they have a definite. Obviously, you know, just even like rankings aside, they have a definite defensive advantage.
Yeah.
Like their team is coached that way. It's like built out that way.
They
like,
have
ignore personnel.
Yeah.
It's just set up better than our defense has been so far. So I do think that that's going to be hard. But, you know, offensively, we are like quite a bit better. So
for sure.
We'll see what happens.
But are any of their players unstattable?
Ooh,
man, that's a meme that I mentioned this on Twitter. We didn't want that meme, but unstattable, we're embracing it.
Yeah.
As Clipper Nation. We kind of talked a little bit about Donovan Mitchell versus AB.
He who should not be named.
Excuse me.
Avery Bradley.
Yeah, he must not be named. No matter who's guarding Mitchell, I feel like if we stop him from being, you know, over 80% effective or his usual self,
yeah.
I think we have a really good chance of winning this game.
Yeah.
The offense is going to flow through him for the most part. If he's going to be handling the ball,
agreed.
Getting to the rim and stuff like that, he's our most explosive player by far.
Agreed. I actually don't know who's going to be able to step up if we are effectively able to shut him down. To some degree,
like other than like, I mean, Ingles would have to shoot an absurd 3-point percentage, or like Gobert would really have to be feeling it from 3 feet away from the rim.
Yeah,
doesn't make a lot of sense. Now we got another Royce O'Neal versus He Who Must Not Be Named.
Yeah, so battle of the zeros on offense. Both of these guys average, you know, like less than 8 points.
It's so bad.
In that, in the win over the Pistons, your boy Royce O'Neal had a solid goose egg in points.
Gooser.
2 rebounds and 2 assists in 27 Ooh. Minutes of action.
So that's 2-2?
That's a real Voldemort stat line.
That's a classic Bradley double-double.
Oh, yeah.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to be more ineffective? I guess whoever's the least ineffective will win this matchup.
Yeah.
Trez versus Apiq Udoh is a very interesting one.
Yeah, so he was a DNP last game. I don't know if he's going to end up playing tonight.
Okay.
So it'll be either Trez versus Epke or versus Derek Favors. Both of those guys have a little bit of height advantage on Trez. Not much. We're talking like 2 inches.
Yeah.
But Favors does have a good 20 pounds on him.
Favors
Harrell.
Is a big
He's
dude.
A big dude. So I do think the size does favor them, I don't think either one of them can match Trez's intensity. Mm-hmm. And he's developing more tools around the basket. So I do think it's going to be a lot harder for them to defend him.
And if his passing is on this game, it's going to be really tough because we're going to be able to space the floor really well with that second unit. Speaking of second units, bench versus bench, we're going to need a huge team effort from everyone on the bench tonight. We should be able to destroy their bench on offense.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
theoretically, this should be another game where we score like 65 bench points and they score like 19 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. The bench should really be able to pop off on this one.
No point guards. Korver's our most feared weapon. You know.
He's not that great defensively.
Not that great defensively.
I just want to circle back to our starters for
circle
a second.
It back.
The backcourt, they're really in trouble here. So I'm hoping
Us
that Shea.
They? Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah,
they are. Sure. I'm really hoping that Shea can put together a nice little game.
Ooh, a bounce back would be awesome from him tonight.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to start tonight?
I think so.
God, I hope so.
And then last one here is just Tobias versus Ingles.
Ooh. Should be able to shut him down defensively.
You think that he'll be able to shut down Ingles?
I hope so. He's more athletic than Ingles.
He's more athletic. He's a lot larger.
Yeah.
I would hope so. I do think that Ingles is going to, you know, Ingles is a very solid defender.
Yeah.
I think that he is going to have trouble guarding Tobias. Like, I think that's a little bit of a mismatch. I think they like to run switches where Ingles gets put sometimes on undersized guys like guards or something just because of length. Obviously, he doesn't have the speed, but...
Yeah, and then if they do get that switch and then Trez ends up on Ingles, I still like Trez in that matchup.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. What's your prediction for this game?
I'm thinking we're going to take this one 114 to 107.
I love it.
I think 107 to 114, rather. We're at home, sorry.
I'm hoping we come out hot.
Yeah.
I think because of the backcourt situation, we get the win.
Yes.
We're believing in this team.
Definitely.
We're believing in this team. I think we're going to win 119 to 109.
This is going to be another crushing loss if we're not able to pull this.
This will not be an encouraging loss. This will go in the CL category, which is the crushing loss category.
Yeah.
Which we have a couple of so far this year. Coming up after this, we're going to be doing the opinion-led What Could Have Been Wednesday. But first, if you're not following Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram, get on over there and click a follow for them. It's all of the NFL and NBA podcasts kind of aggregated into one thing, which is awesome. You get longer stories on the Instagram stories. Great for local news, breaking news. We're on there. Come through. Locked On Net, Twitter, and Instagram.
So, What Could Have Been Wednesdays in the parallel universe. This one's a little bit of fun.
That's a fun one.
What could have been if Bob McAdoo played for the 18-19 Clippers?
We'd be unstoppable. He'd probably play the four.
Oh, no. He's playing the five.
He's playing the five.
So just a few stats about Bob McAdoo. If you're not familiar, he played about 4.5 seasons with the Buffalo Braves.
Whoop.
So, you know, technically a Clipper.
Absolutely.
He was the 74-75 MVP, yep. Which is great because the game has not changed at all since then.
No, I can't tell when I watch old highlights. What am I watching?
No, 100%. So he would transition seamlessly into today's league. He had a wet jumper. Like,
yeah.
Dude, he was
I was watching some highlights before this, and I was like, oh, his jumper was actually legit.
Yeah, which I do think, you know, all jokes aside about how the game hasn't changed in 74-75, I do think that smooth shooters, especially for big men, is always going to transition well.
Yeah. Look at the elder statesman Sabonis.
Definitely. So he also had great post moves. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a really solid handle. So he was like one of the, I think like the first kind of unicorns.
Yeah.
That, you know, the big men, well, in the 70s, big men were primarily used offensively. No one thought to use big men for defense until like, I think the early 80s. Like they only thought of them as like a guy who would like post up and lob.
And then grab a rebound.
Yeah, essentially.
Why use that extra player for defense?
Yeah, but he had some, he wasn't the largest. I think he was 6'10", 210 pounds.
That's not a big dude.
So it's not super big, but he had a really lanky frame. Like I would be very surprised if he didn't have a 7-foot wingspan.
And he was graceful. Or larger.
Yeah, he had really good footwork, kind of like Hakeem-esque or something. Like, really solid that way. And he averaged 30 with the Buffalo Braves.
Damn.
And his numbers like over that stretch are insane. So 30 plus points a game, 13 boards, 3 assists with an average of 3 blocks and a steal.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. So I think the rebounding alone, I think wins us. Let's see, how many losses do we currently have? 18?
Yeah.
19.
Yeah.
I think we're at 19. Anyways, I think we cross out maybe half of those losses. just with the increased rebounding. 10 extra boards a game.
I mean, you're thinking about a lineup of Shea at the one.
Yeah.
Lou at the two.
Oh, man.
Tobias Gallo. Little guy named McAdoo down low.
Oh,
who
yeah.
do you guard?
Who do you guard?
Who doesn't score in that lineup?
Yeah, that's the thing is everybody can stretch the floor a little bit. You know, he couldn't stretch it out to the three-point line. But,
oh, I bet with some modern-day coaching, there'd be no problem.
Oh, absolutely.
I bet he's firing threes with a 35% clip if he gets Sam Cassell out there giving him some guard moves.
So do you think that, where does this team rank in the West with Bob McAdoo playing for the 18-19 Clippers?
Third.
Yeah.
Firm third.
That's what I was going to say. It's like a really solid, probably third seed.
Still maybe not get, and then, you know, once we had KD next year, you put KD and McAdoo together. Good luck.
Unstoppable.
Dude, KD, Kawhi, and McAdoo, get out of here.
So yeah,
check out some old Bob McAdoo highlights, you guys.
Yeah, yeah. This is basically just a long pitch for Bob McAdoo. So interesting side note here on McAdoodle and the Clippers in general. Clippers are one of three teams with no retired jersey numbers.
Yeah.
So the other teams are the Magic and the Raptors. Who do you think? And this is just a brief aside, but Who do you think should be retired on any one of those teams?
Shaq, 100% on the Magic.
As well as Penny.
Yeah, Shaq and Penny. My Magic history isn't that good, so if there's anyone before that, for sure, too.
Maybe Dwight Howard?
Maybe. His exit was kind of unceremonious.
That's fair, but he
got
like
Van Gundy fired.
That's fair, but he did get them to
a finals.
Yeah.
For the Raptors, I mean, they're gonna retire Vince's jersey.
Yeah, Vince's jersey. I think Lowry's jersey will absolutely be retired.
Maybe not McGrady because he also left unceremoniously.
Yeah.
For the Clippers, I mean, the big three: CP3, DJ, and Blake. And McAdoo.
Interesting. You think they all get retired?
Probably. They ushered in a new era.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I think that not all three of them will get retired.
Mm. Oh, I hope. Honestly, I hope they retire Darius Miles. I hope they retire all those guys. Q, Darius Miles. That'd be so tight.
Corey Maggette.
Maggetsters. He'd be the first announcer to have us. No, probably not. That's not true.
No.
Real quick, second What Could Have Been Wednesday. This is from Chenny John on Twitter. We'll probably give this one more love maybe next week. What if Ingles was the small forward on Lob City?
I feel like we've talked about this a little bit.
It'd be a fun lineup.
It would be a really fun lineup. He would be able to, in the former Lob City lineup, he would be able to cover for Redick defensively. And, man, he's just such a clutch shooter. Doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's just, like, players of the Ingles type mold are obviously, you know, the most highly sought after in the NBA. 3-and-D guys who can just plug in anywhere.
Yeah, which is like, it's...
You get them open, and they can knock down a
shot. They'll make the shot, for sure. Yeah, CP3, Redick, Ingles, Blake, and DJ. I don't know if there's a lot of teams that could really stop that.
Yeah, do you think that gets to a conference final?
100%. I think because Ingles is there, we don't lose to the Rockets.
Yeah.
I think Ingles is just like, all right, if none of you MFers want to play, I guess I'll make all the shots.
Definitely.
And then he does that thing where he like talks to his hand.
Yeah, and he's also like, he's just one of those guys who really gets the energy up. I feel like he is...
great shit talker, too.
Great, yeah, a great shit talker. And he just, he's not the cornerstone of an offense necessarily, but I do think that like when he's going, he gets other people going.
Yeah.
I think in
pretty much like Trez.
Yeah, I think in that way, to me, he is like a like verifiable candidate for an all-star. And I know that that won't happen,
but he is
like a verifiable candidate for an all-star.
That's a medium spicy take, too. That's not like outlandish at all, I don't think.
Yeah, no. Huh. I mean, at least third team All-NBA. Like, I think that he is definitely deserving of that.
Shout out Joe Ingles. That has been What Could Have Been Wednesdays, or Parallel Universe. Come back every Wednesday for that. Coming up after this, a quick NBA wrap-up.
So we got to talk about the biggest game of the night.
Man. The Warriors proved your point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So the Nuggets rolled over and died against the Warriors, 142 to 111. This was a 31-point point differential, which is the largest deficit when the number one and two Western Conference teams have played each other since 2010.
Wow.
Nearly 10 years.
That's incredible.
The
Warriors scored 51 in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah. Curry had 31. Clay had 31. Durant had a child's 27.
Pull your weight, Durant.
Man,
I think this
he can't be having games like that when he's a Clipper.
Will wrote this note in the third person, which I respect. Does this prove Will's point that the Nuggets are not for real?
Yes,
I think a little bit. Yeah, I'm not saying full yes. They did play the Warriors.
Sure,
who were unbelievable.
Sure.
I love your hate for the Nuggets.
I don't hate them. I just like I they're just not quite there yet.
I agree. They're probably
they're not quite there yet.
They might get bounced in the first round.
Yeah,
they're a team that could maybe get bounced in the first round with how the West is.
Yeah, they're just not quite there yet. They have a lot of great pieces. They have some depth.
Yeah,
it's just not. They just don't have quite enough to like. I feel like get over the hump yet.
Yeah, Malik Beasley had 21. Malik Beasley had 22.
Yeah,
Jamal Murray had 21. Joker had 17, 4, and 8, and Will Barton had 11, 8, and 4.
Great for them to be getting Will Barton back.
Tough
Man,
loss.
That's such a great guy to come off your bench.
He's a good player.
But yeah, I don't know. I think, man, if I'm the Nuggets, obviously you don't want to see the Warriors at any point, which means that, you know, you're not going to a conference final.
For sure.
I think that, like, if they do get to the second round, a matchup against a team like OKC could possibly destroy them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, unless Jokic goes on some insane tear.
Yeah.
He'd have to go on like an all-time playoff tear.
And he just doesn't have the playoff experience. He doesn't have the reps in. So
too doughy. The Hawks swoop in to upset the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow,
126 to 142. John Collins at the Hawks with 26. Westbrook back to form with 31, 6, and 11. 48% field goal shooting.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. Trae Young had a pretty close stat line. He also had 24, 6, and 11. also and on 47% of field goal percentage.
That's insane.
Which is weird. It's very similar. Obviously they're not similar players in style at all, but it was a little bit interesting, I guess.
He had a sick behind the back pass too, and he kind of hit a dagger three. Oh yeah, my guy Alex Len.
Oh yeah.
Someone who I've weirdly campaigned for.
Yeah.
Jumped on his one person.
He put together a heck of a game.
Heck of a game. 24-11-3. You kidding me?
Really solid. PG-13, Paul George had 24-8-3. So, you know, he's nearly as good as Alex Len.
Barely. OKC got outscored by 15 in the second and 19. Ooh, that's a bad. That's like a Clippers situation right there.
Yeah.
Pretty long bathroom break for them.
Yeah.
Thunder still holding down the three spot. Full game ahead of the Rockets.
Yeah.
Rockets still look
Rockets
scary.
Rockets are creeping, man. God, even with Capella out.
Do you want to read this next one?
Yeah. So the Westchester Lakers gave the Bulls the horns. 100-107.
You had some fun writing these.
I know. I want to insert like the Peter Griffin. Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah. Wow. They took down the fearsome Bulls.
Cool.
Jabari Parker led with 18. He's getting a lot of trade talks going on right now.
Got it. Okay. Good luck with that.
Lauri Markkanen added 17. Wendell Carter Jr. snatched 10 boards.
He looks good.
And Chris Dunn had a really rough night. He finished with 6-5-4 on 29% field goal percentage.
Bulls have a great young core. Need a better coach.
Yeah.
That is not the coach for the young team.
Yeah.
Jim Boylan.
Yeah.
Dude sucks. Kuzma went 16-10-2. Ingram was 16-9-7. Lonzo with 19-8-6. That is an even contribution from those three guys.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want to see if you're the Lakers.
I mean, that's a great contribution from a young core.
Yeah. Lakers 4-6 in their last 10. Tied for the eighth with the Jazz. Oh, man.
Kings are sneaking up, though. Half a game behind the Lakers.
Man, what if we can't because of the stupid Suns? I was going to say, what if every Pacific Division team made the playoffs?
That'd be wild.
That'd be pretty dope. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Once the Suns draft Bob McAdoo's corpse, I think he can reanimate.
He's still alive.
What's the eligibility situation for dead players that are reanimated? I know he's still alive. What's that situation? Like, if you brought someone back to life, would they be eligible?
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Would they have to play a year in college?
No.
Why not, though?
Because they already played it before.
But does that mess up their eligibility?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you can leave the NBA and come back.
That's true. Man, I hope we see that. A dead player getting reanimated and playing basketball.
This is absurd. I hope that doesn't happen. That's terrifying. I don't ever want to see that.
I mean, I'll tell you one thing.
It'd probably smell.
I'll tell you one thing. You get a zombie on your team, you got the advantage every single game from pure mentally. Guys, thank you so much for listening, especially that last couple minutes. We're going to be live streaming after the game against the Jazz tonight.
Supposedly. I mean, I am. I don't know what your deal is.
We're going to have a recap of that hopeful victory tomorrow. We're going to talk about what we want to see more of on Thirsty Thursdays and just some general Clips talk. Guys, I have been positive Chuck Mockley.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.